such meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from a little cave on a tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened and a vision was revealed. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing in the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us, to some degree, it has always been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let us now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, and author of A Mother's Plea for the Winds Have Changed. Together, we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
Hi, everybody, and welcome. A good Tuesday. Boy, I'll tell you, for the first time, that intro, Tony, the song,
right,
just seems to apply, you know,
exactly.
It fits. You know, so I don't want to waste too much time this morning or this afternoon or from wherever you're listening. It's 12 o'clock here in Chicago, but the cosmic upheaval, they're on the horizon, but it's not there on the horizon, it's on us. And so, as I said, I don't want to waste too much time. I am your brother, and I share with you the distress, the kingdom, and the endurance we have in Christ Jesus, always borrowing those words from St. John as he opens the last book of the Bible, the apocalyptic writings, the book of Revelation. Distress, the kingdom, but the endurance we have in Christ Jesus. We're really happy and blessed, and it's a privilege today to have two guests. And this is all in, as we've been announcing for the last several days, in preparation for this. We're going to offer an evening of prayer, really, an evening and an all-night prayer here at St. Stanislaus Kostka. We'll be basically the host, the Office for Peace and Justice of the Archdiocese has invited themselves over here, so to speak. Can I say that? You know? So, but we're more than happy, you know, because this has really been on our mind, and we've been talking about this a lot, you know, over the last, I guess it's been a couple of months already about the situation in the Middle East. And so we're really happy to have today with us from the Office for Peace and Justice, Ashley Collins, and also very blessed to have Father. Well, blessed to have you too, Ashley.
Oh, well, thank you.
But blessed as well to have Father Fawaz Keiko, who's a Chaldean priest, pastor at Mart Mariam in Northbrook, right, Father?
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah. And was born and raised in Iraq. So we'll hear things from a very interesting perspective. You know, somebody who knows well and is very close to the people, the plight of the people in that part of the world. So, anyway, welcome to both of you. I'm very happy to have
you
here.
Thank you. Sure, I'm throwing people off with my voice.
No, why?
You know, I usually get is it Ashley on the show?
Oh, yes. hey, we've been talking about that all week. I'm not fixated on this, but Christina is. She says, how did you get the name?
Yeah,
I
got to go with this now.
So it's not that this is Ashley.
This happens on radio.
Not a woman with a deep voice, not like Christina. But, explain.
I'm originally from Georgia, and have you ever seen Gone with the Wind or any of that? It's Ashley is a guy's name.
I didn't know that.
Wow. Yeah.
Are you happy, Christina? You got your answer now?
Okay.
She's been bugging me all week about that.
I should have sent a picture with my emails.
Exactly. So, Ashley, welcome. And you are in the Office for Peace and Justice of the Archdiocese of Chicago. And because you called me and asked if we would open the church. The church is open. It's always open, 24/7. There you go. See? I'm glad. I'm actually very, very happy that you did. So what are we doing? What are you doing?
Well, we got together as a staff, and we said we have to do something because, you know, silence is the worst thing that we could do. And so we thought we need to really pull together not just the Catholics, but everybody. You know, we kind of were shooting for an interreligious one at first, and then things didn't work out. And we said, okay, we'll bring in, you know, whatever other Christians we can.
Sure.
To pray for the Christians in Iraq, to show that we're there for them, to offer our prayers and donations, really, to, like, you know, from our office, we run Catholic Relief Services. And so we were, like, trying to see how we can pull this together to help our brothers and sisters in Iraq, to really show solidarity with them and not just, okay, yeah, sure, that's going on. I'll say a prayer tonight. But no, really take a moment to focus on
it. Can you say something about what's happening? Because, I mean, the assumption is that everybody knows, but for just in case, I mean, what is it?
I think I'm going to defer to the person who probably knows even more about this, because I could say a few things, but this guy really could talk about what's going on over there. So I'm going to hand it over to him
for that. Okay, very good, Father.
All right. Thank you for having me again. Well, the situation of the Christians of Iraq, I mean, before I start my talk, I'd like to refer to the letter of St. Paul, to the second letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians, and where he says, we carry actually in our bodies the crucified Christ so that we may reveal his life in us. And that exactly what's happening to the Christians, being crucified, being killed, threatened, pay, die, or convert. And that exactly what's happening to our brothers and sisters, the Christians of Iraq. It is an identity thing to us. Christianity has been there for the first and second century, and it came down to that area by St. Thomas the Apostles. And just for the listeners, Chaldeans are part of the Catholic Church, and we are Catholics. And we believe in one message, and that's message of love and message of hope that Jesus Christ came and brought to us. And what's happening in Iraq today, it's very not acceptable. People who believe in Christ, because they're killing these people because they believe in Christ. They're threatening them because they believe in Christ. I've been in contact with many religious leaders, from the Chaldean Church back in Iraq. Since that happened,
Your cousin happens to be Archbishop.
My cousin is the Archbishop of Erbil in Iraq, and that where most of the Christians were displaced. In his diocese, he had 75,000 only, and literally people, the Christians of Iraq, I mean, would refer to mostly Chaldeans, are living on the streets.
It's amazing.
And they're living in schools, and we're talking in a mountain area. So winter is coming. It's knocking at the door, you know?
Yeah.
And when winter comes, that's where the problem is going to start. And I was talking to him, and I could hear the sadness in his voice.
Sure.
And say, what's going on? And he said, well, I'll tell you exactly what happened. In a day and night, one whole Chaldean diocese disappeared from the face of the earth. They turned our churches into mosques. I heard a lot of horrible stories about kidnapping our women and selling them into sex slavery and being sold in parts of Syria, beheading of our children.
Children. The images are out there.
Yeah. And all of that because we're different. All of that because we believe in Christ. All of that because we believe and something that's different from what they believe.
You know, Father, I was I don't have it with me today. I'm sorry to say I didn't bring it. I just had to kind of pull everything together at the last minute to get down here. There's so much going on. As I was saying before, the parish is like an intensive care unit sometimes of a hospital. There's so much going on. But I was sharing, it was Monday, or maybe Friday, but the words of the Archbishop of Mosul, the lament, really, the lament. I wish I had him with, but very, very strong, because his entire, there's no Christians in Mosul.
Yes.
So it says that the first time in 1,800 years that no Mass has been celebrated, there's no Mass.
Mass has been celebrated in the city of Mosul.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So this, in speaking with, and you've got a sister still
in northern Iraq, in Ankawa, in the Erbil area, where it's a bit safe right now.
But you're trying to get her out of there.
We're trying to get her out of there as soon as possible. Probably next week she's going to be leaving to Jordan. So, and that's exactly what we've been trying to do with our brothers and sisters in of Iraq, you know, the Christians. We started here as a diocese, a Chaldean diocese in America here. We started pleading, actually, and calling for the United Nations to call this a genocide. Please get our brothers and sisters out of Iraq. There's a say in Aramaic, we say it all the time, Mayo Mishcha Libe Chai Murda. That means water and oil cannot live together. Yeah. It's impossible.
Yeah.
So we've been trying to get them out of there to a safe haven. We carry Christ wherever we can, you know, whether it's in Iraq, in America, in Australia, in New Zealand, Belgium, or wherever the Iraqi Christian community or the Chaldean community is located today.
So we've got Father Fawaz and Ashley Collins here in the studio with us. This is all in preparation for a prayer service that we're going to have on Friday, and that's 5 o'clock is going to be an ecumenical prayer service, and then we have a mass at 7 o'clock, and then there'll be the church is open, and so we're encouraging, inviting people just to come anytime for prayer. Do you want to say anything about the prayer service, and we'll come back to Father Fawaz?
Sure. It's going to be here at St. Stanislaus at 5 o'clock. We'll have a couple of different ministers from other denominations come. We'll have some readings, some reflections, and then we'll have a gospel reading, and Father here will give a reflection after that. We're looking at having some moments of silence, some music, some songs, some hymns, hoping for, some low candlelight, just so that we can really focus, just pull everything else aside and focus on this one. And then perpetual adoration for peace throughout the night, so just dedicated to prayer for peace in Iraq. We'll have some prayer cards ready. We'll have some information ready for people to read and understand what's going on and really have something to pray for, not make it abstract. Just sit there. Pray for peace. We can really hammer it down.
Yeah.
And then we're doing this because we're backing up against another prayer service being held for nonviolence here in Chicago that the Black Deacons of Chicago are putting together out on a beach, Oakwood Beach, I believe, to kind of move it towards that as well. So there's a couple of different things going on, and the prayer service here is leading up to that in the morning. So yeah, any time during the night. To come and pray before our Lord for our brothers and sisters that are over there praying as well.
This is very interesting. Ashley was saying right before the show, we were talking about how busy, and I'm always talking about how busy it is here. So people don't think I'm just nuts over here. Sometimes I don't know where I'm going, but you were saying that, with all the stuff going on in the world, how busy your office is over there, the Office for Peace and Justice, so... It is the world seems to be in a rather volatile place. There just seems to be fires burning everywhere, and one of the challenges, how do you, in the midst of all this, and maybe because it's not for many here, maybe it's not, they don't feel that it's, in fact, it was just this morning, I was writing a letter to our parents, our students began school yesterday, and so I want to get a letter out to the parents and to the parish for this weekend. And I'm focused on this situation in the Middle East, especially the marking of the homes with the letter N to mark the home of the Nazareans. And, as you said, Father, they either it's you convert to Islam, become Muslim, or you pay the tax, which is you can maybe talk about that, too. It's really it's a humiliation.
It was $600 in the beginning for a person. Now they're not accepting it anymore.
They're not accepting
it.
But even if they did, as I was reading, it's not just about paying a tax, but it's also this a position of inferiority, publicly displayed in a sense as inferior to Muslims.
Right? That's what it is. You are a second-class citizen in that. And whatever the rules of Sharia will rule over you, whether you want it or not.
No public manifestation of the faith whatsoever.
Nothing. They cannot be doctors. They cannot promote for anything else. They have to be just under the protection of the Sharia.
I was reading, this is kind of shocking to me, but I read this the other day, too, that in Italy, Saudi Arabia is financing the building of one of the biggest mosques
the
world, and yet there are no churches permitted in.
You cannot even bring your gospel or cross to Saudi Arabia.
This is amazing. What a
you
country!
Cannot because they consider it a holy land, and we are not holy.
Yeah.
So it's unfortunate, to see we're in 21st century, where we live in a time and age, we have to accept each other. We have to love each other despite our differences.
So one of the questions, and there's a lot of questions, I suppose, but as I was saying in preparing this letter, you know, and maybe we can talk after, we'll take a break here in a moment, but you can talk about this idea of the identity, you know, this is so woven into the faith of the people. This is, but the I thought it was, you know, what a contrast as we're trying to sustain our own churches, you know, and schools with great struggle, with great difficulty here in Chicago and throughout the United States, just to keep people in the faith, you know, practicing the faith, even as I think of our own families and our own schools. And so as I'm writing about this, asking the question, you know, what would you do? What would you do? And this is for people as you're listening, you know, what would you do if somebody were to come and mark your home with a letter N or maybe a letter C identifying you as a Catholic, and you've got the choice. Either you convert to this or that or whatever, or you pay a tax, you take a status of inferiority, or execution. Mm-hmm. Those are the only three choices, but now I guess there's only two choices.
The only two choices today, yeah.
It's unbelievable. So, and as I'm writing that, and then I'm at the same time, you know, looking at the news networks. They're just saturated with the Emmys, you know. Mm-hmm. Last night was the Emmys, and so it's about who wore what and best dressed and worst dressed, and it just, you know, it made me think of the kind of idolatry that has taken grip of our people, you know, this under the dominion of pop culture. And so I always raise this question: So what would we do? Do we have such sensitivity to God, to the things of God, or all things sacred? In this respect, you know, I was listening to this documentary as well, but this connection to the land, the people were speaking, mm-hmm. the Christians were speaking about this, and the Yazidis as well, you know, mm-hmm. this, you can't separate, they would rather die than lose the land. So,
that's correct.
You know, let's do this. We'll take a break and come back, and can you talk a little bit about that, okay, so we can kind of get into the soul of the people that are suffering these atrocities over there.
Sure.
So, okay, everybody, we'll be right back. I'm Father Anthony. We're here with Father Fawaz Keiko and Ashley Collins in preparation for our prayer, the prayer this Friday and through the night. So I'm Father Anthony. We're coming to you from the Winds of Change, AM 750 WNDZ. We'll be right back.
It's time to bend some spaghetti around the tines of your fork, because it's time once again for St. Stanislaus Kostka's annual spaghetti dinner, Sunday, September 14th from 11 a.m. until 4 p.m. There'll be spaghetti with meatballs or spaghetti with plain sauce, tossed salad, Italian bread and butter, coffee and juice, and assorted pastries, and games for adults including raffles, prizes, 50-50 cash, and pot of gold. Oh, and did I mention there'll be live music, too? Tickets are only $9 for adults, $5 for children ages 10 and under. You can get tickets at the parish office or at the door. That's the St. Stanislaus Kostka annual spaghetti dinner, Sunday, September 14th, from 11 a.m. until 4 p.m. at St. Stanislaus Kostka School in the school cafeteria at 1255 North Noble Street, Chicago. Bring an appetite, bring a friend. Sunday, September 14th, from 11 a.m. until 4 p.m. The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com. You've heard us say that Winds of Change is listener supported. That means you help us stay on the air with your dollars and your prayers. And we are asking for that help now. Please take a moment and go to our website, windsofchangeshow.com. That's windsofchangeshow.com. On the upper right-hand side of the page, there is a link. Support Winds of Change Show. Click on that link and donate securely with any major credit card. With your help, Winds of Change will continue to bring you the truth.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks so much for being with us. We're really blessed to have both Ashley Collins from the Office of Office for Peace and Justice of the Archdiocese of Chicago and Father Fawaz Keiko from the Merriam Parish in Northbrook, right?
In Northbrook.
Father was born and raised in Iraq, Your cousin, right, is the Archbishop in Iraq of Erbil.
Whatever. Erbil.
Okay, you got it there. So anyway, we're preparing for which is being sponsored by the Office for Peace and Justice, an evening of prayer, all night vigil, prayer, a lot of silence. You mentioned Ashley yesterday, as I think we were talking about the need for silence in prayer, and I appreciated that very much because I think, in fact, we were talking. I just want to. We were thinking about what we should do, you know, should we provide, you know, food in the but we thought, you know, it's really a very focused, very intentional, and it's a horrific tragedy that's happening. Right. And you know, we started out, Father, you started out by speaking about, quoting St. Paul, the sufferings of Christ, and we say this so often that even if and it's never the case, but if everything was fine with me or with you or with anybody out there listening, if everything were fine, you know, not a worry in the world, no assault to the mind, the body, the soul, or the spirit, the fact that somebody somewhere is suffering, it means the whole body suffers.
Yeah, right.
And so we've got to really, and I think this is a real challenge for our people, our good people of this country, but to really, really, really think beyond ourselves, beyond our own borders, our own homes, our own personal lives, Anyway, so before the break, we were talking about I think I had mentioned that I had seen this documentary, and I was very much impressed by impressed and deeply moved by the testimony of the people, and that so many, especially having sent the women and the children away so that they wouldn't suffer execution, but so many of the men who chose to stay and said they'd rather die than because of the connection they have to the land. And you can identify with that in a very personal way.
The Chaldean community, we have, I mean, I will talk about Middle Eastern in general or the Christian community.
Sure.
They have this great connection to the land. You know, Abraham, and that's very biblical, actually. Abraham was called from Ur the Chaldean and from a land, you know, that he had a great connection. The first thing God asked him, leave your ancestors' land to the land I'm going to show you. Because has this attachment to the land. For the Christians of Iraq, we have this great connection to the land. I can share even my own story, my father's story.
Sure.
My mom and dad were in America before the fall of Baghdad in 2003. And all of a sudden, my dad's getting old. He's an old man. And he said, I wanna die in the land of my ancestors. And he took himself with mom and went back home in 2005, where everything was chaotic in Baghdad.
Sure.
Wasn't safe, where everyone was leaving, the Christians were leaving Iraq and Baghdad, my dad went back. And we looked at him and said, Dad, what are you doing? You know, what are you doing? He says, oh, you don't understand it. You will understand it one day. So he went back to Baghdad. I had two brothers, were still in Baghdad. And, you know, for us, the father is the patriarch of the family,
right,
is the head of the family. We do have independence, but the father is the one who makes the decisions, even though when you are married, even though when you have kids. But the father still, you know, the protection of the family. So he went back home, and he said, this is my wish, and this is what was happening. So they started, the situation was really bad. My mom and brothers, I was at Germany at that time. My mom and brothers kept telling my dad, Dad, let's leave, please. It's not safe anymore for us. He said, no, I'm not going to leave. This is where I belong. Until one day, they were at a Sunday Mass where the church was attacked.
Oh, he was there.
And my dad, mom, and brothers were there. Came back home, and he said, that's it. And I think, this is the holiest place for us. This is where God is. And I think if they attacked us here, there is no place for us here anymore. They took themselves and left Iraq. Oh, well, and they are in Australia right now. And the connection to the land, it's very deeply rooted in us. And in these areas, and honestly, the Christians of Iraq are not, because we didn't get involved in politics, because we weren't allowed to get involved in politics, we couldn't just live on a society. The Christians of Iraq are the educated level, or the educated people of Iraq. Doctors, lawyers, engineers, they are the brain of that country.
Sure.
I mean, to take a doctor or a lawyer or a surgeon from his home or kick him out of his house and make him live on the street, that's a degrading to him and his family. Even though we hear the sounds of these people today, and they don't want to go back, even with their great connection to the land, anymore, because they feel this is not going to end. And as you said, and sometimes I think they died so that we may live.
Sure, sure.
Just the same message. Christ is being crucified in Iraq and many parts of the world on a daily basis.
So I think it's kind of hard to, you know, maybe a concept for, we're in a very mobile society, you know.
Yes.
And quite frankly, you know, when we speak of the United States, the history is so short. I mean, it's just, mm-hmm. we've got a little bit of history in comparison, right? So the whole concept of this connection to the lands, even having to leave it either as a refugee or in order to safeguard and protect one's family, you know, is a death in and of itself.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
But see, today for us as Chaldeans Americans, the perspective we share today, this great country of America has been the promised land to us, where God took us from our ancestors' land to the land He shows us, where this is the land where we can practice our faith without fear. This is the land where we can announce our faith in Christ. And honestly, quite frankly, our people were surprised when we come to this country and we look at these beautiful churches and amazing churches.
Sure.
And most of the times they are empty.
Empty. Yeah.
And we look at them, are you kidding me? With all this freedom you have and you don't practice your faith?
Yeah. What's happened?
You just don't know what we gave up to be where we are today. What we left behind to give for our beliefs in Christ. So the message to the society, just look at the history, look at the story of other people, and that's what we're trying to do. Share the story on a daily basis. We're Catholics, we're very proud Catholics. We're Chaldeans, or we're very proud Chaldeans, and that's our faith. And we will defend it with whatever we can, you know. And this is why I'm sitting here in America.
This is the gist, whatever the letter I was writing this morning. What's it going to take? You know, we need a collective reawakening, I think, here. I mean, even if you look at the old yearbooks from all the parishes, you'll see the churches were packed. I mean, they were packed. Our church here, we had people upstairs, downstairs, masses going on simultaneously. Well, granted, you know, demographics have changed, but nonetheless, you know. Something is amiss. Something is not right. And I don't know what it's going to take to reawaken. I have to say that when I was, and I think I mentioned this to you on the phone, although you weren't there, but I was during the when Pope Benedict, the Holy Father, was going to Madrid.
Yes,
I happened to be in Rome at the time, and I was in St. Peter's, and there was this beautiful mass. I mean, it was just a beautiful mass. The singing, the people, it was packed. You know, young people. And I assume they were from the Middle East or somewhere.
Yes.
I certainly didn't associate them with the United States, because I don't recall that it was when you. Maybe it was. Maybe the mass was being prayed in Aramaic.
There was parts of it, because we had some. We had our youth from Chicago, from the Chaldean Church, who were.
So I joined them.
Took part of it.
Yeah. So I said it was so beautiful. So yes. I said I'm going to join this, because I was so caught up in the. In the prayer, the passion, there was just this participation that was just very, very beautiful. And at the sign of peace, you know, when they were given the sign of peace, I said, they sound like they're from Chicago. And indeed, that's what
it's
you
a Chicago style
exactly,
sign of peace.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I feel I have this little bit of a connection to the to your people. And they're going to be here, by the way. You're going to have...
On Friday.
So some of the prayers will be prayed in Aramaic, and perhaps some of the songs, the hymns in Aramaic,
that's correct,
as well.
Yeah.
So that'll be very beautiful.
The choir of Mount Moriah Chaldean Church is going to be given some Aramaic songs.
Beautiful.
And hymns. And so hopefully that will be a good turnout. Prayer, you know, because we believe prayer can change the face of
absolutely.
The earth.
Absolutely. So. Ashley, do you have any...
I'm just sitting here amazed at everything
at
this point. I think one of the things that, since I work in social communications, you know, one of the things that, the dangers that we have is that, yeah, we can either ignore it or it can become, we can become numb to it, you know, because I'll scroll through my Facebook page and I'll see, you know, people are really upset about this. And so they'll post something about it.
Right.
Then people get like, oh, I don't want to see that right now. That's why they jump to the Emmys.
They'd
rather see what Beyonce's wearing than, you know, headless Christians in Iraq.
Yeah.
Because it's hard. It's really hard to face this and really think about it and think, well, what can I do? And it's even harder because when you think, what can I do? I live here, you know. So it becomes kind of this circular, I don't know what to do, so I'm just going to do nothing type situation. Because it can become saturated or not even looked at the same time, you know, depending on the circles that you're in on social media and such. So I just see that danger. And that's one of the things I talked about with the silence.
Exactly.
When we come to the prayer service, we want to pull everyone together and just say, stop.
Yeah.
Let's focus right now. Yes, this is going on. Yes. We need the Holy Spirit to help, you know, get us through this. And then we can figure out the next steps to take.
So there's the prayer, and then there's now you said there will be a collection on Friday.
Yes. Okay. For Catholic Relief Services, we've set up a special collection for Iraq in particular. We're gonna have another special collection coming up first weekend in September, I believe, for Iraq, Gaza, and Syria together.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, that'll be through Catholic Relief Services. We'll take up a collection here. We'll have ability to donate online as well. And all of that goes right to helping the displaced families, whether they're Christian or not. If they're just run out of their homes, they're human. They're our brothers and sisters just as much as the Christians are. And so that's who we are supporting through the Archdiocese of Chicago is Catholic Relief Services and Caritas Iraq.
Yeah, it's interesting you mentioned that. This is certainly, you know, here we've been, this has been an ongoing prayer here at the St. Stanislaus, I'm sure it has been everywhere. I would hope it has been. But what's interesting is, you know, and we've made mention of the fact that we're not just speaking about Christians, but also the Yazidis, mm-hmm. and Muslims as well, you know, Muslims killing Muslims. I know this is a, we've tried to approach this subject here, and I've tried to be very objective and very prudent about how to speak about this, and you mentioned the water and the oil, you know.
Yeah.
I think that's something that we have to address quite honestly, you know, and I sometimes I feel like we've been bullied into this kind of, manipulated into political correctness and polite platitudes and all that kind of stuff, and yet we're not, you know, dealing with or facing some realities that have to be looked at. And certainly as Christians, how do we respond? And that is, you know, what seems to be a kind of systemic evil that is ever-present in a wide variety of ways, you know, in society. And and maybe it goes back to what you were saying, Ashley. I mean, I think, and this is, I've even had people say this here, you know, apart from that, but just... It's too much. It's too much. But we gotta face these things. We've got to in order to know how to effectively respond, or how can we respond? You know. So I tell you what. Let's take a break, and maybe can we talk a little bit about that?
Sure.
Some of the distinctions. What's at the root of this? Okay.
Sure.
All right. So. Sure. We're here with Father Fawaz. Fawaz.
Yeah.
Keiko and Ashley Collins. Ashley is from the Office for Peace and Justice for the Archdiocese, and Father Fawaz, a Chaldean priest, born and raised in Iraq, the pastor at Mount Meriam in Northbrook. So we're happy to have both of you here, and this is all in preparation for the prayer that we're going to offer here that's being sponsored by the Office of Peace and Justice here at St. Stan's. We're the host. So we'll be right back. I'm Father Anthony. You're listening to Listener Supported Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
It's time to bend some spaghetti around the tines of your fork, because it's time once again for St. Stanislaus Kostka's annual spaghetti dinner, Sunday, September 14th from 11 a.m. until 4 p.m. There'll be spaghetti with meatballs or spaghetti with plain sauce, tossed salad, Italian bread and butter, coffee and juice, and assorted pastries. And games for adults, including raffles, prizes, 50-50 cash, and pot of gold. Oh, and did I mention there'll be live music, too? Tickets are only $9 for adults, $5 for children ages 10 and under. You can get tickets at the parish office or at the door. That's the St. Stanislaus Kostka annual spaghetti dinner, Sunday, September 14th, from 11 a.m. until 4 p.m. at St. Stanislaus Kostka School in the school cafeteria at 1255 North Noble Street, Chicago. Bring an appetite, bring a friend. Sunday, September 14th, from 11 a.m. until 4 p.m. The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
Watch out. He is showing us his flesh. I am Father Thomas J. Loy with a Theology of the Body moment for Tabor Life Institute. God has taken on our flesh, and during the Feast of the Epiphany, God shows his flesh to the world. In the Western lung of the Church, God is showing this to the wise men. The Eastern lung, having just celebrated the circumcision of Christ's flesh, now speaks of Christ's naked flesh during his baptism in the Jordan River. In the East, Epiphany is also called Theophany. So why all this flesh? Because the flesh of Jesus Christ reveals his divinity and the truth about being human. This is the theology of the body. Christ's birth, epiphany, and baptism in the flesh has renewed all creation. And if this is real to us, how do we now see all of creation, especially human body persons? To find out more about the theology of the body, visit taborlife.org. Taborlife.org.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks so much for being with us. We're here today in the Winds of Change, while the cosmic upheaval there on the horizon that is upon us. I say it. It's so. I mean, that intro to the show, it just seems so appropriate as we're dealing with so many things going on in the world today. So many fires that are burning in so many places. The world is in a very volatile situation, and yet, you know, we're a people of hope. We know that good will prevail, that God, you know, God is a God of history and will have the last word. Now, we're talking about God, the God of Abraham. I was saying, you know, I've said many times that today you almost have to, even in our own society, apart from anything else, but even in our own country, because people have this, we boast of how we redefine God in our own nation. And so as Catholics, as certain as Christians, we have to be very specific these days, yeah. Very intentional. Say we're talking about the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who has revealed himself fully in Jesus Christ. And to live as if, well, one is as, there's really no difference. One is as equal as the, I mean, people are equal, and, you know, God is the God of all people. Jesus is, you know, offered that the ultimate sacrifice. He redeemed us. The God, the Father, so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, not to condemn, but to save the world. To save the world, you know, for love of the world, to save the world from what? But from evil, from darkness, from sin, from death. And as Scripture goes on to say, you know, the light came into the darkness, but people chose rather to be in the dark. They chose not to come to the light for fear their deeds be exposed. And then, of course, there's also the sad reality of ignorance. People really don't know. They don't know. How many Catholics? I mean, we can easily boast of the fact that we're 1.2 billion throughout the world, and then you take the denominational Christians, and, you know, we're twice that, but then you add that to Catholics, and, you know, it's just, if 1.2 billion Catholics, just to talk about Catholics, if we knew the faith, really knew the faith, that we really were cleaving to Jesus and living the commandments and asking the question about eternal life and what must we do, you know, as we make our way through this life with a little bit of time that we have, boy, we would be a powerful, powerful force for good in the world. But nonetheless, you know, God always ensures for himself an anawim, a little flock, you know, a little flock. The night before he died, he said that, didn't he? He said, my little flock, not to be afraid, I will be with you. I'm not going to leave you orphans. But the truth is that it's at the very heart of our faith, and that is that good will prevail. God is a God of history, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who has revealed himself in Christ Jesus. Good will prevail. He's the Lord of history. And but not that, you know, we're going to, as I say, Jesus didn't tiptoe through the tulips. He didn't spend his life in the garden. In fact, the only garden that we're most aware of is what, the Garden of Gethsemane, where he sweat blood, where he began to offer his definitive yes to the will of the Father, that he would offer his life in expiation for sin. And he said the night before he died, and before he went down into that garden, he says, you know, I just love what he, when he says, you know, Father, I thank you for these you've given me, these you've gifted me with, and I pray not only for them, but for those who will believe on their word. And I ask not that you take them out of the world right now, not yet, but to protect them from the evil one. But he says, like, you know, your joy will be complete in me, but yes, you're going to have troubles, you're going to have persecution, you're going to be hated. I mean, this is the reality, right? So anyway, having said that, and the mission, right, that from this one nation, that they, the apostles, Christ would come from this one nation, and from this nation he would send them out to Catholicize. Can you say that? To universalize, to embrace, encompass, and the whole of humanity, that the Lord came for all. And we have a mission to bring that light into the world's darkness. So people, I've heard it said, you know, well, you know, the situation in Iraq, it's what gives? You know, why don't the people just, they're all people of God, why don't we just live, you know, as brothers and sisters and no harm to anyone? Can you respond to that?
Well, in the 21st century, as I said, what makes us a great nation in here in this country in America, we accept our differences, you know? We accept our differences, being Catholic, Protestant, whatever you are, even with the atheists. You love everyone around you, and that's what we call to do. We respect everyone around you with their choices. Back in Iraq, the Christians have never been respected for their choices. And why is that? I mean, honestly, I don't want to promote something against Muslims themselves. Sure. There are some good Muslims in the world. But I would call to the Book of Quran, who calls into the killing and beheading of the Jews and Christians as well, you know, and the idea of paying taxes or convert and all that, that is taken from that book, from Quran, it's taken from that book, and يَعْطُونَ الْجِزْيَ وَهُمَا صَغِيرُونَ, that's in Arabic, means they'll give you the taxes with them being silence, you know, and technically it's just like bowing their heads right, down right. And give you the taxes, whether they want it or not. And that's what I look at it for the good Muslims. I mean, for the good Muslims around the world, please. I mean, especially our brothers and sisters, Muslims in America. If you're enjoying your freedom in this great country, please give that freedom in your own countries where you came from, Saudi Arabia, Kuwait, Qatar, Bahrain, and all these countries. Give them the same freedom that you're enjoying here, you know, because we breathe the same air. We believe, you know, that we are all brothers and sisters. If you cut my vein, blood will show. Well, sure. That show nothing else, you know. It doesn't matter if I believe in Jesus or any other thing. But as believers in Christ, we call upon respect to our faith, respect to ourselves. And I said, just analyze these verses. Just try to look at them. I mean, even our Pope Francis called it to the Muslims leaders, please condemn this. And I think sometimes they cannot condemn it because it's taken from the holy, what they call the holy book.
Well, that's the great question, you know. And I think this is the frustration on the part of many. As I've, it's my frustration, and as I talk to many as well, is where, you know, it's because I think it's our sensibilities are such that we see people as basically good, and we want to believe that. And so even the images of people being beheaded or crucified or buried alive, I mean, mm-hmm. You know, it goes contrary to our sensibilities. It's yes. Like it can't be real. And so where is the outcry, you know? Where is the outcry? And I think this is what people are looking for.
It is very challenging for us Christians to pray for those who kill us. I mean, Jesus Christ, God forgive them because they don't know what they're doing. And I don't think these guys know what they're doing. I don't believe in a God that calls me to kill others. What kind of God is that? God calls me to love everyone around you. Love nature. Love everything around me. Love those who are being different than me. Love them and pray for them. Pray for those who persecute you. You know, and I think Jesus Christ proclaimed that in 2,000 years ago. And he said it exactly. Pray for those who persecute you or utter all every bad word about you because you believe in me. Rejoice, for your reward is great in the kingdom of God. And today we live in these ages. Please, I mean, if there are any Muslims listening to the radio today, to this show, condemn this in any way you can. Condemn it. Just say, ISIS has nothing to do with us. But you gotta condemn it and say, well, these verses are calling, I mean, honestly, they're evil. They're calling to kill everyone who is different.
I think so. This is the one of the distinctions in having read the Quran, and I'm, you know, certainly I'm just based on a reading of the Quran, and then of course what so often people will raise the issue of deviation on the part of Christians down through the ages, mm-hmm. the harm that we, our people, have done to others, you know, whether it be against the Jews, whether it be against Muslims, whether against anybody, mm-hmm. African Americans, whatever it might be. And I think one of the distinctions is that the gospel, or even, you know, looking at the Old Testament, and even the presidents have quoted, President Obama has quoted violent verses from the Old Testament, mm-hmm. You know, it's almost as if to say, you know, before you take the speck out of your brother's eye, take the plank out of your own, mm-hmm. you know? And yet, you know, one of the distinction that I've brought up here on the radio just in the last couple of weeks is there's a major distinction. The Quran, and this is being very objective, the Quran is a dictation, a monologue. God is speaking directly to Muhammad. Muhammad, he
brought it down.
Exactly. Whereas in Judeo-Christianity, you've got God who condescends, who is in dialogue, he walks with the people, he's mm-hmm. forming the people, and so even through the sojourn of the Israelites, there's this, yes, of course, because God in his patience and his mercy and his justice, he's forming this people, because from this people will come the Messiah.
Mm-hmm.
But now, when we, even in our own day, you know, any deviation on the part of the church, and the church recognizes, as is written in right into the documents of the Second Vatican Council, Lumen Gentium, is that the church recognizes in every generation her need for reform, her need for renewal, right? Mm-hmm. But we have the gospel that keeps, you know, so when there's deviation, all is checked, right, mm-hmm. against the gospel, or what is our source is Jesus Christ and his teachings and his life, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so there is this. Anyway, I guess I'm kind of rambling here, and it's your show, Father. So, you know, I'll tell you what, let's take a break. We'll come back and maybe further talk a little bit more about this. Okay, but so people, I just want you to again keep in mind that and invite anybody and everybody, you know, to come this Friday. The Office for Peace and Justice of the Archdiocese is sponsoring a prayer here at St. Stanislaus Kostka. We're going to be the host. The doors are open. And at 5 o'clock, Ashley, the ecumenical service.
Yes.
7 o'clock, there will be a Mass. Father Fawaz will be speaking and I think celebrating the Mass as well. And the choir is bringing his choir from Mark Merriam. So this is an opportunity. It gives us something to do where we have to begin, really, is in prayer. And as again, I appreciate the call to silence, you know, to place ourselves humbly before God and let the Lord, transform, purify, sanctify, and bring us where he wants to take us. So that's going to be this Friday. Anyway, we're going to take a break. We'll come back, and we'll kind of wrap up. Happy to have Father Fawaz and Ashley Collins here in the studio with us this morning or this afternoon or whatever it is. It's afternoon here in Chicago.
It's lunchtime.
We'll be right back. Lunchtime. Yeah. I'm Father Anthony. You're listening to Listener Supported Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
Christ gave Sister Faustina Kowalska the gift of the Divine Mercy Chaplet.
come to St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and pray with us. Visit sanctuaryofdivinemercy.org. That's sanctuaryofdivinemercy.org for the complete schedule of Masses in English, Polish, and Spanish, and the recitation of the Divine Mercy Chaplet. Come to St. Stanislaus Kostka, corner of Evergreen and Noble. That's two blocks north of Division on Evergreen, just off the Kennedy Expressway. Christ is waiting. The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com. You've heard us say that Winds of Change is listener-supported. That means you help us stay on the air with your dollars and your prayers. And we are asking for that help now. Please take a moment and go to our website, windsofchangeshow.com. That's windsofchangeshow.com. On the upper right-hand side of the page, there is a link, Support Winds of Change Show. Click on that link and donate securely with any major credit card. With your help, Winds of Change will continue to bring you the truth.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks so much for being with us. We're here with Father Fawaz Keiko from, he's a Chaldean priest, born and raised in Iraq, and is now pastor at Mark Merriam Parish in Northbrook, the suburb of Chicago. It is a suburb, right?
It is.
Yeah, of course it is. And Ashley Collins, who is from the office, the Archdiocesan Office of Peace and Justice of the Archdiocese of Chicago. So we're very happy, and this is in preparation for, Ashley, again, you want to just say something about the prayer?
Yeah, on Friday at 5, we're having an ecumenical prayer service. People from, Christians from around Chicago come together to pray for our brothers and sisters in Iraq. If you want more information, actually, we can go to our website, chicagopeaceandjustice.org. Okay. There's a banner right there in front. You can learn more about what's going on in Iraq, and to donate online to help Catholic Relief Services and Caritas Iraq help those who have been, you know, run out of their homes and,
sure,
you know, have nowhere to go. They've suddenly, like you said, these doctors and these, you know, people that were middle class have nothing now.
Yeah.
They've got nothing. And so as a way to show our support and solidarity, we're going to be taking up a collection there and having a moment of silence and hymns. I'm very excited about the Aramaic hymns Father's bringing to really put ourselves in front of the Lord and stand with our brothers and sisters there.
Very good, and thank you so much for inviting us to open. The doors are open.
Thank you for organizing it.
Very easy, yeah. Very easy. But no, we're really happy, and we're right in the heart of Chicago. By the way, people, for those who are listening, you know, we're right smack in the heart of Chicago. I guess we call it the heart of Chicago because we're right under the beautiful backdrop of the Chicago skyline. I can look out the window and I can see the Kennedy Expressway. Exactly. So we've got the Division Street, Noble Street, right in the center. So,
and the fact that it's the Divine Mercy Sanctuary. And
yeah, we haven't just mentioned that. Yeah,
haven't mentioned that. Just
absolutely,
it just works perfectly.
Hey,
really.
By the way, you know, having said that, and this is, I was going to say this in response to what Father was saying about, I think you mentioned praying for those who are doing these, committing these atrocities,
yes,
these executions. We were all deeply moved, sadly moved by the execution of James Foley, which is kind of a culmination of so many things that have been happening. We've been watching these images. The children is just unbelievable. All of it is just horrific and very hard to see. But then when it kind of hit home in this way, this journalist, James Foley, and we witnessed the actual beheading of James Foley, that just the darkness and the evil there. I was amazed at his parents and that they, in a very public way, asked mercy upon the executioner. It's a very hard thing to do, you know, when you've and they saw it.
By the way, they were Catholics.
They're Catholics, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. In fact, he
prayed the rosary.
He prayed the rosary.
His captives in Libya every day.
Yeah. Yeah. In fact, the Pope was speaking about after he came from Korea. He summed up his pilgrimage in three words: memory. And by the way, it goes right back to what you were talking about: memory, witness, and hope.
Yeah.
And I was thinking about, in other words, we can't forget from where we've come. You know, we're terribly disconnected. We have to remember where we've come from. And in this time given to us, a little bit of time that we have to give witness so that there can be hope, you know, for the future. But he, so when he had written that letter and described that what sustained him was the prayer of the rosary, he remembered his grandmother and his mother and how they'd prayed the rosary. And so he talks about using his hands and his knuckles to pray the rosary and this gave him the strength.
Great testimony.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, we've got just about 6 minutes. Father, is there something else you want to...
Well, first of all, I call to pray harder for Iraqi Christians. And second of all, we got to do something about it. We got to do really something about it. And I call upon all agencies, just let us get our brothers and sisters out of there. Give them the freedom to practice their faith without fear. Give them the freedom that for they believe in Christ. And give them the freedom just to be who they are.
Hey, not to cut you off, this is to add to what you're saying, because you're so close to this, because your parish is, these are Iraqi, Kalian.
Iraqi. Kaldeas.
Right, so how are they doing? What are the...
Well, as I said, we're as human beings, we're very upset about it. As Christians, we need to get on our knees and pray. We really do. And we've been organizing all these prayers for it. And one of the things we do all the time for my Saturday school, I have 170 kids. And these kids are Iraqi, Chaldeans, you know, born in America. And we try with them, we always try with them to share our story. And, you know that's what we do all the time. You know, one of the points of Pasach, you know, where the family sits together and they share their story, how they get out of Egypt. You know, and that's what we do. We share our story, how God has been saving us all this time. And he is our Redeemer, and he is our Savior until today. And Mary played a big role for the Christians of Mosul, you know, that what happened in Mosul. Mary was always the protector of Mosul from the invasions all the time. And Mary plays a big role in it. And we call upon Mary, our Mother Mary, Mother of God, to protect our brothers and sisters, you know, under her wings of protection, to intercede for them as Catholics.
So let me ask you, we just got about a minute.
Yes.
But how I'm curious, maybe we have to get you back on the show to talk about this, but how do... And maybe bring some people from your parish, but how do they respond to this? You know, having lost. Let's just say Mosul, where there's nobody there anymore. How do they? It's kind of in a sense their crucifixion, no?
With sadness.
Yeah,
we're being crucified. Our brothers and sisters being crucified. As you said in the beginning of the show, Father, you know, if part of the body is hurt, the whole body hurts, and that's what we are. We are one part of that body, that of Jesus Christ.
So I suppose to bring this to a close, sorry to say, but Jesus, who, you know, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? But in the next breath, into your hands I commit.
There is resurrection.
I commit my spirit. Yeah. So we got to see, always be on the cross, into the glory, the light of the resurrection. This is what keeps us in hope. So everybody, we are out of time, but I want to thank Ashley Collins from the Office of Peace and Justice for the Archdiocese, Father Fawaz Keiko. Both will be here on Friday. We have prayer, ecumenical prayer at 5 o'clock here at St. Stanislaus Koska, 1300 North Noble, right off the Kennedy Expressway in the heart of Chicago, just north of Division. We'll be announcing this in the days to come, too. 5 o'clock, ecumenical service. There will be a 7 o'clock Mass, and then, of course, adoration all night. The collection will be taken for the those who are suffering in the Middle East. Thank you. Thank you so
thank
much
you.
For being
thank
with
you,
us.
Father.
This is
thank
what
you,
a blessing.
Thank you, Ash. Thank you very much. Appreciate
everybody, be safe, be at peace. Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Ciao, ciao.
Amen.
and flatter such meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now.